It was the first Friday in October, 1957, that the great space race began. Instead of listening to BBC Home Services Who Knows, a radio show where you had to write your science questions on postcards and send them to Broadcasting House, everyone watched as the world's first satellite was propelled into space by the Russians.
The satellite's weight has led some American experts to speculate that the rocket which launched it might also be capable of carrying a nuclear weapon thousands of miles. The fact that Sputnik is expected to fly over the US seven times a day has also caused unease. There have already been calls for an immediate review of US defences, given the implications of the technological leap ahead by a political enemy. But Dr. Black on Ravov said no one had anything to fear from the Soviet satellite programme. It will keep everyone too busy watching the instruments to think about anything else, he said.
It's funny now to look back and think that there was such an ease about all of this. After all, Sputnik was essentially a metal ball that sent pulses of radio waves. But there was a lot more behind this metal ball, Sputnik, than you might have expected.
October 1957, with the launch of Sputnik, was just a massive shock to the United States. It wasn't really just the fact that the Soviet Union had managed to put a large satellite, this is 83-kilogram satellite, into orbit 560 miles above the Earth. Also, the size of the rocket they used to launch that satellite. And it wasn't really about a space race, it was about the fact that if the Soviet Union could do this, they could undoubtedly launch nuclear warheads to the continental United States. So that was a huge shock.
Science and space journalist Richard Hollingham, who you may recognise from presenting the Space Boffins podcast too. But that wasn't the only thing that was so shocking to the US.
The first attempt by the United States to get a satellite off the ground became known as Flopnik, among other things. It exploded on the launch pad and kind of rolled away beeping. It's quite comical to watch, but it was a huge shock to the US at the time. And they finally managed to get a very small satellite off the pad later that year.
So in some ways, this was sort of muscle flexing.
It's totally about muscle flexing. In the US, they called it the missile gap. So really great fear. I mean, you have to imagine that time, the Cold War, fear on both sides of the Iron Curtain. And so, yeah, it was just all driven by politics, really.
So Sputnik was first then, but the US launched their equivalent a month later, almost like a bit of a tit for tat in some ways.
Yes, the Americans finally managed to get a satellite in orbit, much smaller satellite, later in 1957. But then the Soviet Union still managed all the firsts. So the first man in orbit, Yuri Gagarin, in April 1961. The first woman in orbit, June 1963. Now, the US didn't manage to get the first man in space until the 5th of May 61. That was Alan Shepard, but that was just a suborbital flight. So it was really sticking him in this tiny Mercury capsule on top of a launcher going up and then straight back down again. They didn't have the power to get into orbit. So if you look certainly at the early 1960s, where you had the flight of Valentina Tereshkova, the first woman in space in June 63, you had the first three-man capsule in 1964, the first spacewalk in March 1965. In February 1966, the first soft landing on the moon with a robotic spacecraft. They were all firsts by the Soviet Union. So undoubtedly, the appearance, certainly externally, was that in the early 1960s, the Soviet Union was leading the way.
And I suppose that was really frightening for the Americans.
It was terrifying for the Americans. And you have to remember, at the time, no one knew any of this stuff. So no one in America quite knew exactly what the Soviet Union was doing. They had their U-2 spy planes, so they could see the launch sites. They could guess what was going on. I had a pretty good idea, but they didn't really know what was on the minds of the Soviets. The Soviets had a much better idea about what the US was doing, because almost everything in the US program was open and public. I think the most interesting point in the space race is around the mid-1960s, where to all intents and purposes, it appears as if the Soviet Union is ahead. And yes, they are. They've done all the firsts. But that period, the Americans developed the Gemini spacecraft. So over just about 18 months, between March 1965 and November 1966, they launched a series of missions where they managed their first spacewalk with Ed White. They managed to rendezvous two spacecraft in orbit. They managed to dock spacecraft in orbit. They managed to spend 14 days in orbit in this tiny, cramped spacecraft, around the size of the front of a Volkswagen. But they managed to do all these things very quickly in 18 months. And it's around that period where you see the United States starting to edge ahead.
Was it the moon landing that won the race? I mean, or was there more to it than that?
Essentially, the Soviet Union, we know this now, lost the race in about 1966-67, when their N1 rocket, their giant rocket, their equivalent of the Saturn V rocket that took men to the moon, it couldn't get off the launch pad. It exploded on the launch pad. It just did not work. And at that point, effectively, the race was lost. 1968 onwards, the US had won. And, you know, there was no way the Soviet Union was going to get to the moon. Although the Soviets did carry on their moon landing program, at least in theory, into the 1970s, but they were never going to get a person on the lunar surface.
And what were the implications of all this racing and, I suppose, ultimately the Americans winning the race?
The biggest implication, I think, of the moon race was this massive advance in technology. It was actually, in retrospect, such an amazing period, such an incredible period. All the computers at Mission Control to enable these missions to happen, the development of rocket engines, the development of learning how to live in space. I mean, it's just incredible how much happened and how quickly it happened in that period of the space race. And then it kind of fizzled out rather quickly between Apollo 11 in 1969 and Apollo 17, the last Apollo mission, in 1972. And then, actually, the US and the Soviet Union ended up working together with the Apollo Soyuz project of the mid-70s. And it turned out they actually had quite a lot in common, and they'd been developing these space programs in parallel and came up with different solutions to the same problems. And now, of course, even though the rhetoric against the US and Russia on the ground is anything but friendly, up in space, Russians and Americans work together every day on the International Space Station. I mean, the sadness is that it lost momentum once the Americans had won. And that's the trouble with developing those sorts of technologies in that political way, in this way that was politically driven, this race. And I think right now we're starting to pick up the momentum again, but there's been such a lull in terms of human space exploration since the end of Apollo.